News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 at 8.07 on Mobile Mornings. A lot going on in the world, including, of course, the number one story, the headline from the weekend. I guess we were kind of ready for it in a way with all the buildup, but we didn't know certainly that it was going to be this past weekend when it started. And I don't think that Iran had any idea that it was going to happen in the middle of the day or in the daylight.
No, and we'll talk with Quinn Hillier. He might have some more insight into some past administrations. But as far as poker faces go, I think the Trump administration and Trump have figured it out pretty well, at least as far as strikes on other countries. Yeah. We saw it with Venezuela. And again, with Iran, Friday going into Saturday overnight and then Saturday, he went down to Texas to campaign. He was buying Whataburger for everybody, and all in the meanwhile gave the command to go ahead with Operation Epic Fury. There were rumors, not even rumors, stories that Rubio was getting ready to head to Israel yesterday and that they would continue talks with Iran in Vienna, right? That was supposed to happen yesterday,
that's
too.
That's exactly right.
That was all setting us up for this week, and then overnight, Friday into Saturday, which in Iran was 10 a.m. Saturday morning, the bomb started falling.
Quite an operation. Quinn, what do you think about what you've seen so far in Iran?
Well, there are a couple of different issues. The issue, should we have done something now, is different from how we did it. And there are two parts of how we did it. Part one is domestically, did we do all the right things domestically, both formal notice of Congress and plus building public support for it. And, so those are the two things, public support and congressional notice domestically. And in terms of how, the next question is how we're actually conducting the military operations. Those are all different questions. But the first question is, should we have done something like this? And my answer is yes. We have Iran in a box. They have been causing terror and death for 47 years. They, clearly had a degraded nuclear development system thanks to us, but they wanted to reconstitute it. What better time to stop them from doing it than when they are on their knees? What better time to decapitate their evil regime than when their populace has already been rioting against them? What better time to do it with Israel when, for once in history, Israel is at least in, reasonable relations with most of its Arab neighbors, and especially if Iran is stupid enough to attack its Arab neighbors, which it did.
Mm-hmm.
All of which tell me that President Trump had good reason to do something like this. And the other questions we can get to in a minute, but let me stop there.
Yeah, and I'm conflicted a bit on this, Quinn. A little less so since I've seen the success that they've had, which I guess is kind of cheating on my behalf. Because first thing Saturday morning when I'm talking with Dan about this out at the boat show, I said, I don't like it. I just don't like the potential that this has to leave us wrapped up in what, Trump and so many in his administration and campaign had said is a never-ending war. But then you step back and look at it and you go, this war in a way has been going on since 79. So is he ending a never-ending war, or are we just getting wrapped up in another one?
Fair question.
I think the answer is he's trying to end what had been a never-ending war by other means.
Mm-hmm.
And, you and your listeners have known that even though I'm a conservative, I'm not always the biggest Trump fan, but on the basic question of yes or no, go or no go, I've got to support Trump on this. These people were evil. They needed to go. And they were continuing their evil, which is why they needed to go. And now was a really good time to do it, for all those reasons that I explained.
How about the precision with which Israel, I guess, was primarily the ones that took out all the heads of their security and the Ayatollah himself. Amazing precision, long range in the air missiles. I mean, shot from air strikes from planes miles and miles away from Tehran. The stuff that you read about in science fiction, and here it is the headline of the day, Quinn. It's pretty remarkable.
It really is. And look, Netanyahu gets all kinds of grief, has gotten all kinds of grief for 35 years now. And with the one exception of the Hamas low-tech assault on October 7th, 2.5 years ago, he has been remarkably good at protecting Israel's interests, at stopping terrorists, and at forging alliances with people who were formerly his enemies. And look, to have Israel be in good enough stead with United Arab Emirates, Kuwait, Jordan, Egypt, et cetera, et cetera, that they did not immediately jump in on Iran's side despite their differences with Iran. But the fact that they have reacted like this shows that Netanyahu has built something there. And there is a level of, if not total trust, there's a level of respect and of mutual advantage there. Iran thought that if they attacked U.S. targets in all these Arab countries, they would make the Arab countries mad at the U.S. Instead, they made the Arab companies angry at Iran. They would not be angry at Iran if their main goal was still to destroy Israel. The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Mm-hmm.
But they no longer see Israel as a mortal enemy, and therefore they took offense at what Iran is doing, and they're on our side. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of the doing of Benjamin Netanyahu for the last 15 years.
Wow. Talking with Quinn Hillier. You can read his work, quinnhillier.com, nola.com. He writes for The Advocate, too. Quinn, also with this, and of course, there's still so much time left in the game as far as this Iran war continues. You know, Trump said he's hoping 4 to 5 weeks, but we're ready to continue on if necessary. But I wanted to know, in your opinion, what this means as far as the global chessboard. You look at what Trump did with Maduro in Venezuela, and at least temporarily bringing that country to heel. He's talked about Cuba, and they're already hurting with Venezuela, you know, falling under American eyes because of the oil situation there. But now with Iran, and it seems like this China and the Chinese and Russian air defense has really not worked well for these countries, and they're not getting much help from Russia and China on the as far as the rhetoric is concerned either. What do you think? You know, I mean, Venezuela, Cuba, Iran, these are big players with Russia and China. What does this mean on the global stage?
Well, some advantages for us, some disadvantages. The advantages are we are now proving to ourselves that we can indeed get past the defenses that are the weapon systems that China and Russia have provided, although granted, we don't know if Iran, et cetera, are as good at using them as China will be at using their own systems. So that's good. It's also good to show that we mean business and that we will not just sit back and let, for instance, China attack Taiwan, you know, without knowing that we have the willpower to react. The bad news is we're using a whole lot of our weapons, and Congress right now should agree to Trump's extraordinary request for a major, major defense buildup. He wants $1.5 trillion a year, which is nearly doubling what we're doing right now. I don't know if we can do that fast, but we should absolutely try to come close. We should especially just spend whatever it takes to replenish all the missiles that we are using up here in Iran, because we are going to need them if China moves on Taiwan or something else like that happens.
There's some Democrat knee-jerk reaction over the weekend to the strikes. Chris Murphy, you know, not a fan of his from Connecticut, but, you know, knee-jerk reaction about how awful and how misguided this whole operation is. Just calling it the worst thing in the world.
Hakeem Jeffries yesterday predicted failure for America CNN. He said, I don't see how we're going to, how this is anything but a failure.
Yeah. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, we're, is it normal for this sort of rhetoric to be out there simultaneous to a military action like this?
They're politically, they're way too far out over their skis, and just sort of ethically, they're wrong, because there used to be a saying that politics stops at the water's edge, and when we are engaged in immediate, very dangerous, hostile activities across the globe that have just started, you don't use rhetoric that bad, because it undermines the effort that we're making. Now, there, you know, to express concern that Trump didn't adequately consult Congress or even get some sort of permission from Congress, that's fine. To say we got to watch this, and you know, and to express some reservations, that's okay. But they're going overboard. Some of the rhetoric that you cited and some others that I have seen have not just questioned Trump in a sort of responsible way, but they have clearly said all but that we are the bad guys, mm-hmm. which we of course aren't. And clearly, to say that this mission is a failure when it's just starting,
ridiculous.
Which, by the way, it isn't
ridiculous.
It's absurd, and it hurts the domestic support for the U.S. military itself when our people are in harm's way, and it is unconscionable, unacceptable, and you know, this word gets thrown around way too often, but in this case, it actually applies literally and specifically. It is un-American.
Yep. That's how it felt to me, but it just felt like politics is normal, and I just brushed it off. But I could have taken a ball bat to Murphy on Sunday morning.
Yeah, you weren't too happy with that. Hey, Quinn, good stuff. We appreciate your time with us this morning. Next week, we'll have plenty to talk about as well, including, you know, primaries. Today, we'll see in Texas and Arkansas and North Carolina some primaries underway. I know got a big Republican primary in Louisiana as well. So a lot of that is that season heats up. But we appreciate you coming on to talk Iran this morning with us.
Well, thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it. Everybody have a good day.
You got it.
There you go.
Quinn Hillier. That's our guy, QuinnHillier.com. You love him.
Yep. You know him. You love him.
Or you don't, or whatever.
QuinnHillier.com and NOLA.com. We'll get some texts like CB Carl here. Good morning, guys. Quinn sounds like he'd rather have a tooth drilled than say that President Trump did something good. But it, at least he said it, right?
He did
say that. Cheese Wagon says we have an accident. Springdale at Sage. Crash Springdale and Sage. So keep that at top of mind. Kane will give us the traffic on the way. Plus, we have a lot of audio from, like, some of the Democrats that Dan was talking about who are up in arms over these strikes. And your text, 251-343-0106, all on the way next.
Turn up your voice on the text line, 251-343-0106. Now, back to Mobile Mornings.
Yes, sir. We've got a lot of good text to get to, a lot of good audio from Democrats. Also, let me ask you this real quick, Dalton. Do you think that they're obviously planning all this. It's maybe December. It's January. They're watching the protests and all. We're talking about Israel and the United States. Did the slaughter of all those citizens, which is anywhere from, you know, what, 1,000 to 10,000 to 30,000, whatever, do you think that played any role in the decision moving forward to do this, or was that
I think definitely. Like, they had to be looking at the reaction of the leadership there in Iran to see whether there was fear in their actions or whether they still felt, you know, some kind of calm confidence and control of their country. And the way they responded to those protests showed you that they're like
cold-blooded,
a scared cat, almost kind of striking out and just trying to maintain whatever control they can. And then apparently once the, I don't know if they ever ceased, but the nuclear talks, once they started those back in earnest, and it appeared that the Iranian leadership had no plans to dial back their efforts to obtain a nuclear weapon, I think at that point you go, what else can we do? Now, the argument that Democrats and some moderates are putting out there is you can't strike Iran now because Iran wasn't about to strike you. That's what they're saying right now.
Yeah.
That there's no intelligence that showed that Iran was about to strike at America.
That's not the point at all.
And you heard Rubio yesterday, so he kind of laid out their reasoning after the fact, right? He said, well, we knew that Israel was going to attack Iran regardless of what we did.
So we had to be ready. We knew that was going to happen, and we were going to be attacked.
Because he's made it sound like, and I don't know how accurate it is, but Israel has the gun to Iran's head. Iran has the gun to our Middle Eastern head, it were. They had everything pointed at our troops in the Middle East, so we needed to act at the same time as Israel to make sure we were as safe as possible, which is kind of sound reasoning.
It does.
I don't know if it's legally sound.
I wait and wait and wait for Iran to threaten us, or do you have them in a sit? They're going to be threatening us regardless. They're threatening thuggish nation they have been for 50 years or whatever. I think if you saw them at a weak point, I'm not saying I'm all in on this. I'm just saying strategically that doesn't seem to be a bad way to go. Get them when they're down.
Yeah, and Trump, and did we ever clarify, it's been an interesting strategy of his this week. He's given exclusive interviews to so many different outlets. You see, one second he's speaking exclusively to ABC.
Yeah.
Next one he's speaking exclusively to the New York Post or the Wall Street Journal or Fox News. So you have all of these different stories coming from different sources. I thought I read that he mentioned Iran tried to assassinate him twice and that he was going to get them before he got them. I don't know if that was some internet thing that was cooked up or not. I know there was some intelligence that was coming out in the media, you know, really since he was. Since the attempted assassinations of him previously, and some were trying to link those to Iran. Some said it was other attempts made at his life by Iran that maybe didn't make it into the news, like the two high-profile shootings. But there's no doubt Iran wanted Trump dead, right?
And you can see why. Right now, we can see why.
And wanted as many Americans dead as possible, and like you said, with the shipping. So it has been a war, maybe not at all times a hot war, but to act like Iran was some non-threatening, just kind of hanging out and doing their own thing on the other side of the world is false.
It's absolutely false. And if they were stronger, if we hadn't done what we had done in June and Israel had not done the same thing, they were very precise with their attacks and their strikes, it would be a different Iran we're dealing with right now. It would be a different posture that they would have right now.
Mm-hmm.
They'd be a lot more emboldened. And then Laura Logan with the report that I saw yesterday, I hadn't heard this before, that Iran may have been mining uranium in Venezuela. But that's the cozy relationship that they had. So there you have, again, you're back to the nuclear capability angle on all this too. If we had that sort of intelligence, it's like they're still at it.
There's all kinds of storylines tied into this, and we mentioned it with Quinn, Russia and China. How do they play into all of this? And on the home front, how much of a push back are Democrats and some Republicans going to provide here? Because there's supposed to be votes today on war powers. You have Secretary of State Rubio, who's going to address the entirety of Congress later today.
Yeah, I like that. I like that idea a lot.
But already the audio bites, the sound bites coming from the Democrats sound as anti-American as you've ever heard. We'll get to your text, too. There's a bunch of them. 251-343-0106 after the news.
Mobile Bay starts its day with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
834 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings on this Tuesday morning. A lot of texts. We'll get to those. Plus, we have a lot of audio regarding the war in Iran with some Republicans, some Democrats. and others all commenting on what's going on right now. First, let me tell you about my friends over at Tobias and Comer Law. If you've been injured and you need someone in your corner, turn to Tobias and Comer Law right here in Mobile. This local personal injury law firm on Dolphin Street's been fighting for fair compensation for decades and have helped tons of locals just like you and me. What sets them apart? Well, attorneys Desi Tobias, Brian Comer, and Lacey Smith handle your case personally from day one to resolution. They don't hand you and your case off to strangers. They've got the experience to tackle everything from car crashes and boating mishaps to defective products, workplace injuries, and maritime claims. And if you've never been involved in something like an injury case, had a great two-part podcast series that we just recorded at their office there on Dolphin Street at the Tobias and Comer Law offices, where they walk you and me through exactly what it's like to have an injury case from the time you first give them a call at their office until the case is resolved. We have that loaded up at our website, fmtalk1065.com, but every Law 251 podcast also uploaded to tobiascomerlaw.com. That is their great and informative website with tips and resources. And you can also call anytime for a free consultation, 251-432-5001. That is tobiascomerlaw.com.
The text line is humming this morning, as you would guess. G-Man says, I guess the Democrats will want to see another couple of towers get struck by planes and crumble to the ground. Then they'll find. Then it's time to react.
Then they're on board.
Yeah.
I will say, though, there's, I think, good reason. Obviously, I think it goes without saying. There's good reason to be skeptical of any kind of massive war, active war in the Middle East, mm-hmm. just because of the last 25 plus years, and because the Trump campaign, whether it was we were just sold a bill of goods or not, his campaign was in many ways about,
America
just
first.
Focusing on domestic
yep.
policy and priorities. And for all of these other foreign wars or foreign wars on behalf of other countries, letting those go by the wayside, not getting involved in anything that's going to take 10, 15, 20 years to wind down at the cost of many American lives. So many people voted for Trump because of that.
Mm-hmm.
You can understand why they may have some questions. Why are we getting involved in the Middle East again? But I think there's also some good answers that come right back the other way. As we were talking with Quinn, this has been going on for years and years and years. Iran has been sponsoring terrorism for years and getting around, I guess, almost like a loophole, using Hamas and Hezbollah mm-hmm.
Terror cells.
Yeah, these other outfits to do their dirty work for them.
Right.
But I'm kind of someone, like I said, I'm conflicted. Saturday morning, I woke up, was reading all about it, went to the boat show, and we were talking. I said, I just don't know. But it has been such an efficient, to this point, and lethal campaign. I know Michael just sent me a tweet on the DM, and OSINT Defender on Twitter also reporting. Let me find it so I can say it exactly how it's worded. Yeah, so the Israeli Air Force, and keep in mind how many of the top leadership they've already killed.
Yeah, 50, 60, I don't know.
From the Ayatollah down.
Yeah.
So it says here, the Israeli Air Force has attacked the Assembly of Experts, as it's called. They're meeting in Iran as they were gathering to choose the new supreme leader. The council is comprised of 88 religious leaders from around Iran who choose the Ayatollah. So I don't have any reason to believe that's not true. I don't know how many of those 88 religious leaders were in there and how many perished from this strike.
So it's the meeting.
I mean, they're making it easy
to try and find a new leader. They're holding a meeting
for voting.
Israel knows exactly where that meeting is happening, and it takes that out.
Yeah. So I don't know if all 88 were there of these leaders who elected the new Ayatollah, and I don't know how many, if any, it looks like they were killed by Israel. But, I mean, is that just making it easy on Israel? Is it dumb? If there's any time for remote work,
mm-hmm.
like meeting via Zoom rather yeah. than in person.
This would be it.
This would be it.
So they took out their own internet. Maybe they don't have any Zoom now. I don't know.
Maybe that's what it is. And, you and I were also, we talked about it yesterday and over the weekend. What was the Ayatollah thinking, first off, holding that meeting with so many of his big-time leaders
incredible.
On Saturday morning? And maybe they were just baited by Trump. Because I'm kind of reading in a lot of the, I think, the Wall Street Journal, Fox, maybe one other had like this profile of what Trump's day looked like on Friday.
Yeah, the way he postured himself, like leading up into the weekend, and again, being daytime, that caught him completely off guard. But you're right, I think Trump kind of...
Because remember,
soft shoot it into the weekend, and next thing you know, and like he's going to Whataburger, he's going to Texas, and next thing you know, bang, it happens.
Yeah, because we saw a similar thing with Venezuela, right? It seemed like the rhetoric was kind of cooling a little bit, and that Trump was willing to make a deal and this and that, and the next thing you know, bang, Maduro is flying in a tanker back to back to the ship and then being brought to America. So with this Iran thing, you know, they had all these talks for weeks. And they're not going well, then they are going well. Well, Friday, Trump basically says, yeah, I don't see the need to hit Iran right now. I think we'll be able to come to the board and figure this out. Then he goes to Texas for this rally for the primary, which is being held today.
Yep.
He still hasn't endorsed any of those three with Cornyn, Paxton, and Hunt. But he's out there in Texas just trying to drive the vote. He had Dennis Quaid on Air Force One with him. They go to Whataburger after the rally. All in the meantime, he had given the go-ahead to Raising Cane, General Dan Kane. Operation Epic Fury is a go. And he said some other words. They said it was a nine-word sentence. Operation Epic Fury is a go, and don't call it off, or something like that. And other than that, he just kept up standard appearances, right? Like he's going about his week. There were plans for Rubio to be in Israel this week to talk about this and further talks with Iran in Vienna. And that must have just left the Ayatollah and the rest of, you know, the leadership there in Iran thinking that things were headed in the right direction and comfortable enough to meet in person like that on Saturday.
It's like they were looking at Dr. Bill's weather scale, and they were saying that all things are go here this weekend. Mobile's got the boat show. It's going to be a pleasant weekend. Hey, let's meet on Saturday morning for biscuits. I mean, I don't know what was going through the mind. And again today, if Israel... If they wiped out the vote for the next
Ayatollah,
bingo again. Incredible.
So also, you look domestically or just at the Trump administration and who's getting points from this and who isn't. Some people have pointed out that, and maybe it's just because of his role as Secretary of State, but the two favorites for the 2028 Republican nod for president would be J.D. Vance and Marco Rubio.
Sure.
Right. Well, right now, Marco Rubio, next to Trump, is getting all of the shine from this operation, while Vance and Tulsi Gabbard kind of stayed back and were present, but not nearly as much in the news as especially Rubio was yesterday and today. But he had a lot to say about this yesterday.
He did, and he was basically saying, why now? This is the question a lot of people want answered too. And I love that Rubio's talking to Congress today and the Senate because he makes sense when he speaks. He knows what he's talking about. Rubio on why now.
The second question that's been asked is, why now? Well, there's two reasons why now. The first is it was abundantly clear that if Iran came under attack by anyone, the United States or Israel or anyone, they were going to respond and respond against the United States. The orders had been delegated down to the field commanders. It was automatic, and in fact, it bared to be true because, in fact, within an hour of the initial attack on the leadership compound, the missile forces in the south and in the north, for that matter, had already been activated to launch. In fact, those had already been pre-positioned.
So they're kind of working together with Israel, but Israel was set to do what they did, which was remarkable. And Rubio said at that point, even though we were partners, it kind of left us with not much else to debate. That's why now.
Yeah, that's I think the reasoning is sound, at least. Whether it's believable or not is for other folks to decide. CB Carl texting in. Well, actually, let me start with Squirrelverine. Squirrelverine says, all the opposition to Operation Epic Fury ignores the protests of the people against the regime. I think that's notable, of course. What was the latest number? Like 1.5 million were out protesting when they started, you know, killing them by the tens of thousands.
Yes.
And Squirrelverine also says it's unrealistic to hold a president accountable for campaign promises that are dependent on the actions of rogue nations. CB Carl says, I heard a guy say that the Democrats are saying the attack on Iran was illegal, but it was just undocumented, and that's okay. So make it a liberal joke there about the difference in illegal and undocumented.
Yes.
Now, the response from pretty much every single Democrat that I've read except for John Fetterman, have been to disavow these attacks and say that Trump is acting illegally with these
irrationally,
attacks.
Everything.
Irrationally. Here was Chuck Schumer. So I think this was after the Gang of Eight briefing yesterday that Rubio held with the Gang of Eight. Here's Chuck Schumer.
I found their answers completely and totally insufficient. In fact, at least to me, that briefing raised many more questions than it answered.
Of course it did. Mm. But you had House Speaker Mike Johnson, who also attended that meeting.
This is why the commander-in-chief of our armed forces has the latitude that any commander-in-chief, any president always has, because they have a set of information that is sensitive, timely, and urgent, and they have to be able to act upon it.
Yes, that's, I think, a fair statement as well. But here's Hakeem Jeffries, so the House Minority Leader.
This is after he was briefed? This was after the briefing?
I think this was last night on CNN.
Okay.
I need to double and triple check that. I believe this is Jeffries after the briefing.
Yeah.
There's a chance it may have been before, but he's not, you know, it's not even just Democrats. There's plenty, even MAGA voters who are saying the same thing as Jeffries is here. But I think, like you were pointing out with Quinn, it's one thing for a political commentator to come out and say something about, you know, current events, but when you're the House Minority Leader or the Senate Minority Leader or Majority Leader of either, you know, of either the House or the Senate, I think there's certain decorum maybe in early stages of warfare like this that you should follow.
And key right there, early. You know, you're shooting off your mouth to be political. You have no idea. First of all, it all looks like it's going spectacularly well. And we're just in the beginning of this thing. Maybe you can say cautiously, well, we'll see. I'm not crazy about it, but instead they're just like, just take the garbage out now. They're just calling it. It's going to be a failure now. Mm-hmm. That's I can't believe my ears.
Yeah, here was Jeffries when he was asked about that on CNN.
Do you think Trump can pull off a regime change without putting U.S. boots on the ground?
No, that's impossible for him to do. Now he's claiming that he's not going to put U.S. boots on the ground. But he's claimed a lot of things only to do the exact opposite. This is the same person who said he is coming back to the presidency to get America out of endless wars. And now he has just gotten us into a potential endless war in the Middle East of all places, where we know, based on what happened in Afghanistan, based on what happened in Iraq, based on what happened in Libya, it's not going to end well for American interests.
So that was Hakeem Jeffries, House Minority Leader, last night.
I'm not saying he doesn't have a point. I'm just saying, let's ease up a little bit. You know, let's not be so anti-decision when we don't know what level of success this is going to have.
And, you know, while unfortunately we've seen some American service members already die early on in this war, six now is the number, and I think all from that first attack on Kuwait with the drone. Benjamin Netanyahu, of course, major player in this as well. Here's what he had to say yesterday about why they did this.
The reason that we had to act now is because they were, after we hit their nuclear sites and their ballistic missiles program, you'd think they learned a lesson, but they didn't. Because they're unreformable. They're totally fanatic about this, about the goal of destroying America. So they started building new sites, new places, underground bunkers that would make their ballistic missile program and their atomic bomb programs immune within months. If no action was taken now, no action could be taken in the future. And then they could target America, they could blackmail America, they could threaten us and threaten everyone in between. So action had to be taken, and you needed a resolute president like Donald J. Trump to take that action.
I do think there's, in his words, even in Rubio's and Trump's, I do think there is a lot of fluff, though, as far as what Iran is capable of right now and what they were planning on doing right now and right around the corner. Like, I do believe they were planning on continuing their nuclear buildup to the point where they could eventually have a nuclear bomb.
And the missiles, too. The missile program.
Deal. Yeah, but I don't think they were really...
They weren't there.
I think the truth of it is, and it's obvious, I think, to most people, this is the weakest Iran has been.
Exactly.
And will be for a long time if they didn't act now.
Yeah.
So you could think it's right, or you could think it's wrong that we decided to act. But if you're trying to take a player like Iran off the board, someone who's caused you so much angst and even beyond that, you know, death to Americans and others over the years, if you're going to act and now is the best time to act, do you put it past Trump, I mean, do you blame him for going ahead and doing so?
And with a partner like Israel that's been, you know, done so exquisitely well in all of this with the planning and with the execution of it, they're calling it preemptive, or they're calling it kind of like we're jumping off sides here, like encroachment. But the fact is that their goal was to get back to where they were, and they were actively doing that. So, again, this would... I'm not 100% endorsing what happened. I'm saying you've got to give it some thought that this is a weak Iran, and how long and how often were we ever able to say that this is a weak Iran? And now the boogeyman is getting kind of ousted. And we see him for what he is.
Yeah. Squirrel Vereen says Democrats and their voters would rather throw billions of dollars in weapons at a war in Ukraine that they can largely ignore. I think these actions in Venezuela and Iran could very well be the thing that brings the war in Ukraine maybe to an end.
Maybe.
If Russia and China, I'm sure they've seen what we've been able to do to a lot of their own defensive equipment.
And how about how silent they've been through all this, too? I mean, they've just really, from Venezuela to now, Russia and China have looked rather feckless, like just on the sidelines with nothing to say, nothing to do.
Mm-hmm. Texter here says, Schumer says the meeting caused more questions than it answered because he's too stupid to figure out the issues. Gardner sending another tweet that seems to confirm that strike in Iran as they were meeting to elect the next supreme leader.
Incredible.
That's absolutely amazing. And we'll wrap up the text, too, on the way. 251-343-0106. Keith says it wouldn't have mattered if they had attacked us first. The Trump derangement syndrome is that real.
Seems to be.
He'll be upset about it.
Those Sunday shows, gosh. I mean, the thing just happened the day before, and instead of just kind of taking your time to evaluate what's going on, you have people in the other party just losing their mind, and I thought that was really unfortunate. 852 with Dan and Dalton.
News, weather, traffic, and sports. You're listening to Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 at 8:55. Mr. Jeff Poor is on the way next on FM Talk 106.5, and he's got a fine show with a lot of guests.
He does, yeah. We have a Senate candidate coming on in hour one, Jared Hudson. Some time before our Senate primaries, May 19th. Meanwhile, primaries underway today. Texas, North Carolina, Arkansas. Also coming up in the Jeff Poor Show, Paul DeMarco in hour number two. And in hour number three, Will Hampson with P2 Public Affairs. He joins Jeff to talk some federal and state politics. Looking back at the text line, Angry Patriot says, part of a text I took from a post on online that is believable. He says, Trump didn't invade Iran to stop a nuclear program. Trump invaded Iran to get the last copy of CIA intelligence tapes. Okay, that's... I haven't heard that yet, Angry Patriot. I mean, I think there's plenty of good reason, if you just can avoid being embroiled in a long-term war, plenty of reason to try to take Iran and that leadership off the board, least of which is just, you know... Well, first off, they're being at the head of so much terrorism for so many years, but just their role with Russia and China... And how important they are to them.
And yes, correct. And also the changing of the temperature in the Middle East as well. I mean, they struck out at all those countries around them, thinking the reaction would be, that's because we have these U.S. bases here. That's why we're being attacked. Therefore, we're mad at the United States. Mm-hmm. And that's not, I guess, nine countries in all. We're like, no, yeah, we're mad at you.
Trump, Kushner, and the team, they've gotten enough of them to play nice, mm-hmm. right? That now an attack on one is almost not an attack on all, but you're right. They're not seeing it the same way they may have 15, 20 years ago.
No, not at all.
And then there's this. This texter might not be completely off base. Says Trump wants the oil. That's it. Says we are in a shortage. I don't know if that's the case, but he's made clear that he doesn't mind taking over a lot of the oil production in some of these places. Brian says, interesting how Iran was selling drones to Russia and now they need them. Karma. Yeah, I wanted to ask Quinn that too. These drones, he's so upset about the war in Ukraine, I think for good reason. Many people are, but he's upset that we haven't done more to help Ukraine. Can you do more to help Ukraine than to take the drone builder for Russia off the board?
How about
the Shahid drones?
Didn't quite see that coming. Maybe they should have. I mean, The planning and all of this on the Iran side, not grading out very well.
No. Let's see. Troy fan asking Quinn now loves Trump. Yes. we'll get to more texts. Plenty of them from earlier in the day, too. 251-343-0106. Michael said, most people, especially in our area, don't realize Israel is attacking a majority Christian country with a Christian president in Lebanon.
That's incorrect. It's now 60 to 69% Muslim.
Oh, okay.
Yep. It's 8:59 with Dan and Dalton.